have a court that always reflects the elections from the last four and a half terms. So if Democrats win four and a half terms, you're going to have an all-Democratic court. Republicans win four and a half terms, you're going to have an all-Republican court. If it's like what we've seen over the recent years where the party is going to go back and forth, you'll have a balanced court. I think we should do that. Take the current court is so out of step. Do you know the last time we had a court with a majority of Democratic appointees on it? It was when Brown v. Board was decided. And I'll tell you what, like, people have their politics, but we haven't been an overwhelmingly 6-3 Republican conservative country in the 60 years since then. So I would impose term limits staggered and let the court be reformed that way.
On July 25th, Democrats Josh Riley and Jamie Chaney both spoke at a candidate forum for the New York 19 new congressional district. In Delhi, they spoke, and the special election they're running against each other in is on August 23rd. Here is one question asked to Democrats Jamie Chaney and Josh Riley.
We have already addressed something about funding, and both of you talked about not accepting donations. I know Josh, you mentioned about from PACs, and I think both of you talked about pharmaceuticals. Some candidates have also chosen not to accept donations from crypto or fossil fuel companies because of the environmental impact, particularly for New York. Any other thoughts about your approach to fundraising, and are there other industries or sources that you would not accept donations from? I'm going to hand this one to Josh.
Our campaign is the only campaign in this race that has never taken a penny of corporate PAC money, and I never will. When I worked as counsel in the United States Senate, I actually worked on the constitutional amendment to start doing the really hard work of overturning Citizens United, which is the most disastrous case for our democracy probably ever. So we need to overturn Citizens United, and I am refusing to take any corporate PAC money as a matter of principle. So where are we getting our money instead? The majority of our contributions are $25 or less. Two-thirds of our contributions are actually $50 or less. And even without taking corporate PAC money and running a grassroots campaign, we've raised over $1.2 million since launching the campaign in November. That's more money than any Democrat running for the House in all of upstate New York in that period of time, incumbent or challenger. So we are running a race that is by working folks, for working folks. It's the reason that End Citizens United endorsed us. It's the reason Defend the Vote endorsed us. It's the reason the Voter Protection Project has endorsed us. And I'm really proud of that operation.
Thank you, Josh. Jamie?
Absolutely. So you heard me allude earlier to the fact that I think that this goes beyond corporate PAC money. We must overturn Citizens United. But in the meantime, we cannot fight with one hand tied behind our back. We will face a GOP opponent this November who will be 50% or more funded by dark money.
I don't know about all of you,
but I am not going to fight
Jamie,
for children's future.
I'm sorry. I'm going to suggest you.
Funds.
Yes. Start to go.
Is it better?
Is that
better?
Yes. That's much better. Thank you. Didn't want to lose
okay,
you.
Sorry. I'll back up a sentence or two and let's see how it goes.
Yep.
We will face a GOP opponent this fall who will be funded probably 50% by corporate PAC and dark money. I refuse to fight for my children's future or any of your children's future with one hand tied behind my back. There is too much on the line at this moment in time. We've alluded to a couple of these issues. Roe, guns, the environment. That said, I have not taken any corporate PAC money on this race. Would I take it? My answer is this. Every candidate is responsible for the source of every single dollar they take. If a corporate PAC approaches me who wants to make sure that New York 19 has Democratic representation that is pro-choice, pro-family, pro-community, and I am comfortable with the source of their funding, they want to help us defeat Mark Molinaro, I will take that money and I will do it for the good of our communities. Similarly, I take a hard look at every single one of my donors. I think it's as important to make sure that there's not a single large source of corporate money in someone's filing. For example, from big tech, from a single lobbying firm, maybe it comes from individual donors, but that has exactly as much influence as a corporate PAC. So we need to overturn Citizens United, to summarize. In the meantime, I'm not going to fight with one hand tied behind my back when these rights are on the line, and we are all responsible for the source of every single dollar in each of our finances.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star, oh, glowing sphere, gleaming beacon, brilliant flaming orb, giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar. WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fahia, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
And bookish things. And that's what we're going to do today. We're generally joined by our friend Georgia, but she couldn't make it today. And sometimes some of our other friends too, who I'm hoping will be able to join us again in the fall once all their busy summer programs are over. But if anyone ever wants to join Bound by Books, you can come and talk on the radio with us about books. We're always welcoming new young people who like to talk about books. I would say generally the programs for anyone from ages 8 to 18. But every once in a while, we have somebody a little younger or a little older. Although usually the little older are people that were on the show when they were younger, like Amelia and Mashuda, who are now in their young 20s, but they started when they were teens. So we let them stick around because we like them. And I'm an adult, but I'm a librarian, so that counts for something. And yeah, so we're going to talk about books today, just what we do every week on Bound by Books. And Fatia has a very special book to share today. I'm excited to hear about it and see it. Do you want to go ahead, Fatia?
Yes, and today I have like a book about this. It's called Eid al-Quran. It's like a Muslim book I wrote like this July, and yeah, like there's only one chapter about it. Eid al-Quran by Fahia Jeanette. Once upon a time, when I was full 8, it was Eid, and Eid we eat some sweet things like khandish and shamai and shingala most of the time. We also pray at the mushtif most of the time. Boys go there, more boys go there than girls. At the mushtif there is a huzul. After we're done praying, we come back home, and sometimes we eat more, or we just relax together and drink tea. In Eid, we read surahs in Quran. It's called Eid Namaz. We do namaz like praying. In Eid, some people don't even celebrate it because it's not part of their culture. The Muslims celebrate Eid because they speak Bengali. Muslims come from Bangladesh and many other places too, like Pakistan and Bangladesh. Those are only the two places I know. And that's the end of the book. At the end of the book, I have like a surprise. It's like a check here for surprise. I wrote it, and you can only pick one.
What? You get to pick a surprise?
Yeah. There's a few like there's two stickers I have.
So you can pull something out of like a little secret spot, like a little pocket.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And I also put some crayons on it, but you're like, but my mom didn't pick that out, and so she had it. And this one is like a note. It's like a mini note. It's called, Mom, happy birthday.
Oh, that's so nice that you made her a book for her birthday. She must have been so happy. Did she tell you what she thought of the book?
I mean, she didn't really read it. Yeah, but I read it to her this morning, mm-hmm. and she really liked it.
Aw, that's very nice. Yeah, it's very special getting a homemade gift like that. And I liked learning about Eid a little bit more and what Eid means to you, like what you do on Eid, what you eat. Oh, Amelia's joining us. Welcome, Amelia.
Hello.
Amelia's...
I'm late because I forgot that the radio show happened because I haven't been here for a little bit.
Yes.
I'm on vacation this week, so
I... Oh, nice. We were mentioning at the start of the show that the radio show is mostly for kids 8 to 18, but we have a few exceptions, myself included, as well as you and Mashuda. So for our yep. radio listeners, Amelia is one of our 20-somethings.
20.
Do you remember how old you were when you started on the radio?
I don't remember. I think I was still in, I don't think I was still in middle school. I think I was in high school by that time.
Let's see. Your first show was May 1st, 2017.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So just over 6 years ago. Is that how? No, 5 years ago.
Yeah, because I was still here when you were in the old radio studio.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad to have you here. So Vitia just shared a book that she made for her mom for her mom's birthday that is about Eid. So it mm-hmm. talked about what they do for Eid.
Okay.
It's very nice. And one of the fun things about it is on the back page, there was a little like pocket and it said, pick one surprise from here or check here for surprise. And then you could pull out a little sticker or crayon or there were like gifts in the book.
That's so cool.
Very cool. I love homemade books mm-hmm. and homemade gifts in general. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Often one of a kind. But thanks for sharing, Fatia. I remember you talking about being excited to make that book, and I was hoping I'd get to see it sometime and hear it. So I'd love to hear from Amelia, because we haven't heard from you in quite some time. What have you been reading?
I've been rereading a lot of old books that I read a long time ago, because one of my school assignments is I have to build a website, and one of the things I want on my website is like my top 10 or top 5 books that I've read in like the horror genre and the poetry genre. So I've been rereading a lot, and I actually recently reread some Goosebumps books. I remember being in the old library and going like straight through the Goosebumps section, so that's like very nostalgic for me. I actually have some of the TV show on DVD, so I've been rewatching that too, because I've just gotten really into that. Even though I'm 20, it's they're fun. Those are like the original OG horror books for children. That was like the gateway. And then I've just been rereading some other stuff as well. Like, I've been reading some Junji Ito, because I always am, all the time, it seems like.
Yeah, we mentioned your love of Junji Ito on, I think it was last week's show, because we were talking about the Eisner Award winners. And Junji Ito's anthology called Love Sickness won an Eisner Award.
Oh, I don't know if I have that one.
It won Best U.S. Edition of International Material, having originated in Asia. They have a couple different categories there based on location. But we thought really of you.
One of the books I've been reading of his is called Tomie. It's about a young woman who is basically lures in men with her beauty, but ultimately somehow they all end up killing her at the end, but she keeps coming back and resurrecting more and more beautiful every time. I haven't finished it yet. I think it's really cool.
Sounds creepy.
It is very creepy. The visuals are wild.
Yeah, I decided to check out the anthology that just won the Eisner, because why not? You know, so yeah. I have that at home right now, but I haven't started it yet because I have a zillion books at home.
Yeah, manga and comics go pretty fast, luckily.
Yeah, I'll get to it. The trick is that when the Eisner Awards come out, I try to borrow like all the winners, and then I have a huge stack of comics to read through, plus all the other books that I've had on hold and all the other books that I own. And yeah, lots of reading to do. Luckily, I like to read. So, yeah, I actually just finished a really good book that had been on my list since it came out. It's called I Kissed Shara Wheeler, and it's by Casey McQuiston. And they've previously written for adults, like contemporary romance stories. And this was their debut YA rom-com. And the main character's name is Chloe. And they moved to a new town from Southern California to Alabama to attend high school. So they moved with their moms. And so they're in their senior year now, and they've spent their high school years focused on their main goal of becoming valedictorian of their graduating class and not really worrying about making friends or getting to know people. And their main rival for valedictorian is this woman, young woman named Shara Wheeler, who is the principal's daughter. She's the prom queen. She's one of those people that's beautiful in that classic way where they like walk into a room and like it just like the world like slows down and it like,
yeah,
you know, like classically beautiful person. And a month before graduation, when the story starts, Shara Wheeler, out of the blue, kisses Chloe and then vanishes. I mean, not like magically vanishes. She just vanishes like a normal person. I made it sound like she went poof and disappeared. But no, she's just all of a sudden, she's not there anymore. And Chloe's trying to figure out what happened, because it's very mysterious that she's just gone. And that she's trying to figure out, like, why did she just kiss me and then disappear? And in looking around for answers, she finds out that she's not the only one that Shara kissed. There's a guy named Smith who was Shara's, like, longtime quarterback sweetheart. And then Rory, who is the guy that lives next door to Shara.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really have anything in common except they connect over trying to figure out what happened to Shara. And she left clues behind, so she leaves all of these little cards behind and monogram stationery. So she kind of sets up like a little like scavenger hunt for them. And so they're working together, trying to figure out where she is, what happened. And Chloe's focus is on making sure that she gets back to school so that she can beat her to valedictorian, like, and have it be a fair fight.
Oh.
But along the way, you know, they like find out things about one another, and they sort of make this friendship amongst themselves and connect with other people in school that, you know, she's been spending all her time focusing on graduation and becoming valedictorian, that she hasn't spent the time getting to know people, and has sort of just made assumptions about them without really knowing them based on like what you see from the outside. So it kind of opens her up to thinking about her classmates in a different way and her school in a different way. But yeah, it's really fun. It was a really, really great story. Probably one of my top reads so far this year. So yeah, really enjoyed that one. And I recently started reading a graphic novel that just came out this week. It's a middle grade graphic novel called Invisible. It's by Christina Diaz Gonzalez and Gabriela Epstein. And a few weeks ago, my niece and my nephew were on the show, and my niece had read this book as a preview copy that I had and had really liked it. So I decided to check it out. And I'm not done yet, but so far it's really good. It's set up where there's five students who are kind of lumped together in the eyes of the administration because they're all Latinx, but they're very different. They're like, they come from all different cultures. Like one's American and Puerto Rican. One is from Mexico. One is from, I think, Venezuela, Cuba. I can't remember if I'm forgetting one. I don't have the book in front of me. But then they're also just like, they're not all like the best of friends. They just happen to get stuck together at some point. And they've all been called into the principal office to explain what happened on this one day. And so one of them starts telling the story. And then eventually one of them's like, that's not really how it went. This is how it went. And starts telling their version of the story. And so it's like taking turns, like seeing what happened from different points of view. So I liked that element of it, that you get like different points of view and you're kind of piecing together what happened. And yeah.
That's interesting.
So far, so good. Fun to check out a new book.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, aside from that, the only other thing I really wanted to mention today is that I started watching the Paper Girls series.
Is that out now?
Yeah, so it's on Amazon Prime, and I forget how many episodes it is, but it's based on the comic series Paper Girls. Which
is it animated or is it live?
It's action? Not. It's live action.
And
have you read the series? I can't remember.
No, I've heard you talk about it though.
Yeah, so it's really fun. It's like a bunch of teenage girls who are, or are they teens? Maybe they're 12. I can't remember how old they are. They're tweens, I think. They're tweens or young teens. I think they're tweens, actually. But they are all paper girls back in the 80s. And it starts off on Halloween night, or I guess the morning after Halloween in 1988. And one of the girls is doing her first run as a paper girl and joins up with some other people that are also paper girls. And because it's Halloween night, there's a lot of pranking hijinks going on around town. So they decide to stick together and do their routes together to like make sure that they get their papers delivered and get home in one piece. And then some weird stuff happens, and all of a sudden they're sent on this time traveling adventure. So it starts off in 1988, but you're quickly brought into the future, and then at some point you go back a little ways, but not quite all the ways. And so there's and they're being chased by some warring time travelers, some people that want to make sure that things stay the way they've been made, that time has happened, and some that want to change things for the better. And so they're sort of on a race to survive, basically, and get home. That's really fun. And I read it so long ago that I can't really remember how similar it is or different it is from the comics, but I'm really enjoying it. I also recently started watching the new Pretty Little Liars series, which was partly filmed in Hudson, which is kind of cool. So it's fun, like, trying to see.
I think one of my friends was actually an extra in a scene that for the parts that were filmed in Hudson.
Oh, cool.
She says she's in an episode, and at some point I might just watch. I've never seen Pretty Little Liars. I might just watch the one episode she says she's in to try and look for her in the background, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's fun. I was wondering if there were extras that were from the local community. I assumed there would be, but I didn't. I haven't recognized anyone, but I haven't been, like, pulling out my magnifying glass. But yeah, the basilica is in one of the scenes that shows up quite a bit, and I'm pretty sure that they used the Charles Williams School, but I'm not sure, as the exterior for the school that they go to. But they also use, like, the, is it Akawamik? Is that what it's called? The, like, old school.
I'm not sure.
Out in the country. They use that. And then some sites in Saugerties in Kingston as well. But it's pretty fun. I mean, it's like teen horror. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A little suspense. I was not into the original series. I watched a little bit of it and got pretty bored. But this one so far has been fun. See if it holds up. I don't know if they're making another season or not, or if it's a limited series. But yeah, it might be fun for people to check out. It's on HBO. Those are my bookish things.
Your bookish things.
Yeah. Do you have any bookish things to report?
I don't think so. I recently discovered that an M. Night Shyamalan movie that I have not seen yet, but I've read some summaries of it, called Old. It's the one about the beach and the aging that happens on this weird beach. I discovered it was actually based off of a comic, apparently, which I did not know. The comic is, it's called Sandcastle by Frederick Peters and Pierce Oscar Levy. It's a more adult comic, and it doesn't explain what's happening on the beach as much as the movie does, which I kind of like. I kind of prefer when things aren't entirely explained if they don't have to be.
Yep.
And I personally thought the way Old was explained was kind of dumb and, like, not really good. I felt like it would have been scarier if they left it ambiguous. But yeah, that I found out it was based off of a comic called Sandcastle, and I have not read the comic yet, but I know that the ending is more ambiguous than Old is.
Huh. Be interesting to see. I did watch that movie. I know I didn't love it, but I think I, like, was okay with it. It was fine. Mm-hmm. It was interesting.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw the trailer laughing. It was like the horror of getting old. I don't know. But it would be scary if you started aging as fast as people were on that beach. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Well, before we go for the day, is there anything coming up that you're especially excited for?
Coming up, I'm not sure. I saw it in Barnes & Noble, but I didn't buy it at the time because I wasn't sure what it was about, and I had already bought something else. I was practicing a rare moment of self-control in Barnes & Noble, but there is a new book called Long Live the Pumpkin Queen, based on
For
Christmas. And I saw it in Barnes & Noble, and I did I was on the way out the door. I straight up did a U-turn to, like, look at this book and decide, no, I've already bought something for myself.
Well, now, it'll still be there when you're ready to buy something
else. It'll still be there. I do want it. It looks very cool. And I love Nightmare Before Christmas, and, you know, so I'm legally obligated to see what that's about.
That sounds fun. I feel like the thing I'm looking forward to the most, I've shared on the radio show at least once already, so, and that's my family visiting. My mom, my niece, and my sister, so I'm not going to go into detail about that. But
you haven't shared it with me yet.
That's true. And in terms of a bookish thing coming soon, I'm curious about She-Hulk, which is coming out later this month.
Oh, I've heard about that a little bit.
I like the actress from it. So I'm curious to see that based on the comics. That's why it's a bookish thing.
Yeah.
It's book related. Yeah. We still have a few weeks left of summer reading. So listeners out there should pick up their reading logs and keep track of every day that they read, and then they can enter a raffle for some prizes, adults included. So, Amelia, you could join if you want.
Oh, that's cool.
And your parents could join, too. But, yeah, be sure to stop by the library to check out what we've got going on. Lots of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to wrap it up for